this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Unleashed on the America Out Loud Network. I am Chris Michaels. This is the Political News Hour, so get ready, because as always, we bring you cutting-edge commentary, as well as factoids that you may not always consider. So are we looking at the breakout of a World War III? Is this 1938, 1937, and 1939? And are we being pushed into a war with Russia and China, no matter who the next president is? You're starting to see geopolitical positioning all across the planet, most recently in Niger, because the United States had a base over there. Well, of course the United States had a base over there. They've got bases everywhere. But something really disturbing happened. The country said that the United States is no longer welcome over there. And to take their place, they are now placing Russian troops on the same base that the Americans were at. So this is a monumental geopolitical shift in Africa. And especially since China has been making inroads all over Africa for decades. China has the policy of creating infrastructure for various African nations, specifically in sub-Saharan Africa, and in exchange for creating infrastructure, they want access to raw materials. Now, the West, particularly the European countries, they have been exploiting Africa for literally centuries. Look at De Beers and what they've done over the years. Look at what was done with, I believe, King Leopold in the Congo. And thanks to Gorbachev, remember him? He spilled the beans about how Germany has their very own Area 51 in the middle of the Congo. So in order to really place the next source of raw materials for an upcoming Third World War, if it decides to go hot, Africa is going to be a huge influence on who does what. From Reuters, a senior U.S. defense official said that Russian forces are not mingling with American troops on the base, Air Base 101, but were instead using a separate hangar. And the situation is not great, but manageable in the short term. And sources also told CNN that the Russians and Americans are not operating in the same part of the base, and one said, it is not that big of an area. So this is how close they are. They are quite literally meters apart. If you want to talk about tension, I have no other way to describe it. But, like I said, this is the next flashpoint, potentially, of where the next world war could potentially break out. France is also set to have its troops removed because there is the same play in the former French colonies. And France has played an enormous role in what goes on in Africa, once again, for literally centuries. They are being kicked out. That is an enormous geopolitical shift going on. So who fills that vacuum? I can almost promise you that it is not going to be a Western nation. Russia and China will be the next dominant force that is going to take over African trade. And what's even further impossible to imagine, well, we have to be, it can't be impossible because we have to imagine it. How about them apples? It's because of what's going on in the Ukraine. This issue, this war in the Ukraine, is not going to go away anytime soon. They want to distract Russia. Why? More than likely, they, being the EU, the United States, NATO, and the UK, they need to create some kind of next front, and that front is going to be in the Pacific. So in order to make sure that Russia is sufficiently distracted and experiencing issues on its own borders, they need to keep this war going in the Ukraine. It needs to be perpetual. One of the reasons why Speaker Johnson decided to cave and fork over $61 billion in this latest bill, along with $3.4 billion to continue to allow illegal immigration into this country with $0 available to secure the border, is going to be this idea that they're going to continually supply Ukraine with some kind of weaponry. Now, you can go down different roads and say, well, the money is not necessarily leaving the United States. This $61 billion is mostly allocated to the defense industry companies like a Boeing or a Northrop Grumman or a Bechtel. But the issue is that the Biden administration is trying to push through legislation, or not the administration itself, their allies in Congress, push through legislation that would see the Ukraine be funded for at least another decade. So no matter which president gets into office, this funding is going to continue. The United Kingdom has now said that they are compromising on a $3.74 billion annual military aid package for, quote-unquote, as long as it takes. That's right. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron, remember him? He used to be the PM over there. He is pushing this war even further. You have to start to ask yourself, who really wants this war in the Ukraine in perpetuity? Because nobody, I promise you, nobody is focusing on how influential the United Kingdom has been with their Storm Shadow missiles, going after civilian targets, going after the Crimean Bridge. These were all British operations. Why isn't anybody pointing the finger at them? Who is really orchestrating this war? It's looking as though it's the UK pulling the strings. The United States is the front man and the main financier of all of this. That is something to truly consider. NATO officials are claiming that it's not for us to decide who the Americans choose as their president. We will work with whoever that is, but we are attempting to quote-unquote Trump-proof any future aid. So that means that they know that Trump is completely against this Ukrainian war. It's not that Trump doesn't side with the Ukrainians, but Trump does not want to see perpetual bloodshed on either side, apparently. And this has the warmongers in NATO and the United States and the EU very worried. Their cash cow could suddenly dry up. And this is something that we need to painfully be aware of coming this election cycle. The Biden administration and the warmongers here at the Pentagon are starting to pull out the same old tricks they usually pull out, and that is the claim of weapons of mass destruction. The U.S. State Department accused Russia of having used chemical weapons against Ukrainian soldiers in violation of the Chemical Weapons Convention. Now, when did this start to happen? This is the same old playbook that NATO uses time and again. Remember Syria? Oh, it was, what was it, chlorine gas or something like that? No evidence for it. You had the supposed humanitarian white hats, which miraculously in Syria, the white hats were strolling the streets with lasers. That's right, to guide precision strikes. Now, why would a humanitarian agency be strolling around with laser pointers? Well, not the little pins you use, but honest-to-God ones. Russia, by the way, did use some kind of gas, and that gas was, in fact, tear gas. So if tear gas is now considered a weapon of mass destruction, what is the excuse the United States has for using the same kind of weaponry on its own civilian population for various reasons? Oh, like January 6th, or the riots during the 60s, if we're really trying to get into it. Not a lot of people want this war to end, but there are few. Like Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. He's saying that we are on a razor's edge, and we need to start voting for people that support the peace process. That doesn't mean that he wants the EU to be completely defenseless. He wants somebody that is going to be productive. He wants somebody that is going to end this bloodshed and bring back peace in the European Union and restart negotiations with Russia overall. That does not sound like a nationalist that the mainstreams try to make you believe Orban is. It sounds like somebody has his head on right. Up next, we're going to speak about the revelations we've found during this sham trial and court cases that Trump is experiencing. Could this be the final end to prosecutor, or special counsel, I should say, Jack Smith? I don't know, but we'll review it.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
This is Unleashed, the political news hour on the America Out Loud Network. I am Chris Michaels. We're finding out more and more on how the deep state has colluded to get Donald Trump when he was the president. James O'Keefe, former head of Project Veritas, still doing his undercover work, has created a new release for a video. CIA program manager Amjad Fasisi, if I pronounced that correctly, said that the CIA withheld information from Donald Trump because they figured that Donald Trump would disclose this information to the American public. So right there, you've got evidence of potential sedition and treasonous activity. Because if the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon, if they're not telling the president of the United States necessary and critical information, then we have a huge problem. This deep state only likes people that are in the club. And Donald Trump was not in the club. Hillary Clinton was supposed to be the president, according to them. But once you get somebody like Trump into office, somebody that actually gets things done and does not perpetuate continual wars, then they have a problem. They wanted Trump out of the presidency in the worst way possible. At this point, we're all painfully aware of at least some voting irregularities, to put it mildly, that occurred in 2020. It doesn't take very much to look up all of the crazy situations that occurred that night. Remember everything closing down at 3 a.m. across the country? Oh, we had a water main leak at this location. We had people putting up boards to cover up the windows so that the ballots could be counted, so that prying eyes couldn't watch the counters. And then you had all of the adjudication process that went on, never mind electronic voting systems, which are not supposed to be hooked up to the internet, but it has been proven otherwise since then. And you can only imagine what could potentially happen if you've gotten an election that is being tallied with machines that could potentially be compromised. Now we're finding out that January 6th was another effort to finally put the nail in the coffin of the Trump administration. We know that Nancy Pelosi's, I believe, daughter or son-in-law, one of those, had a film crew there on January 6th. What are the odds of that occurring? Why would they want that? We also know that January 6th is very, very perplexing. You had video footage of people dressed in all black. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds strikingly like Antifa. Beating down the windows of the Capitol building. And once these people were inside, they were then handing out baseball bats to the people that were on the outside. There was also that little video clip that didn't get a lot of airtime. Where are those people? Who are they aligned with? And then, to make matters even worse, they allowed all of these people inside the Capitol building itself. I don't know if any of you have done any research on those massive doors. Those doors are magnetically locked. The only way for the people that went into that Capitol building to get actually into the building would have to be someone unlocking those doors. There's no other way for that to happen. We're also finding out that there are National Guard whistleblowers, and they are making the accusation that Milley, remember him? General Milley, more concerned about woke policies and DEI policies once Biden got into office than actually defending this country. They're saying that he is the one that decided to turn down the National Guard on January 6th. Now, there have also been accusations that it is going to be the responsibility of somebody like Nancy Pelosi at the time, or Washington, D.C. Mayor Bowser, to call in the National Guard. But there was something else going on behind the scenes. The National Guard whistleblowers, Sergeant Major Michael Brooks, Colonel Earl Matthews, Aaron Dean, and Captain Timothy Nick, they decided to go to Congress on to record their accounts on January 6th. We know for a fact that there were some shady situations going on there, but it is becoming more and more apparent that there was an actual conspiracy to make Trump look bad, to make the rally on January 6th look like a sedition. We all know it wasn't a sedition. If it was a sedition, you would have various cities across the country being taken over by people with real weapons. That did not happen. John Solomon reported in 2022 that apparently Capitol Police were warned that there were going to be possible violent encounters on January 6th, 2 weeks before the actual event itself. So if they knew about it, if the Capitol Police knew about it 14 days in advance, half of a month, then how come nothing was done about it? It was supposed to go off. It was supposed to give optics that Trump was a radical fascist president. We also know that Pelosi and Mayor Bowser and other government officials turned down the National Guard. They were counting on the basic American Democrat voter to see the optics that, oh my goodness, Trump supporters are there to take over the government. And now we're seeing the repercussions of that. Look at all of the January 6th prisoners and how they are being mistreated in the United States prison system 4 years later. It's a travesty of justice. I thought we were supposed to have a speedy trial. It does not look like that's the case. So from the Daily Mail, we find out that military leaders should have potentially been arrested and court-martialed. Donald Trump's authority as commander-in-chief was ignored by senior military leadership on January 6th, and this comes from a claim of the chief legal advisor for DC National Guard. That's a pretty big position. Colonel Earl Matthews. It's almost hard to say, Colonel Earl, came forward as a whistleblower, and he sat down with the Daily Mail, claiming that Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at that time, and then Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy, were plotting to disobey any orders handed down by Trump because they, quote-unquote, unreasonably assumed that the then-president was going to break the law and tried to use the D.C. National Guard to stop certification of the 2020 presidential election results. So there is a lot to unpack in that statement alone. You have members like Milley outwardly saying that he is going to disobey the orders of the sitting president. The last time I checked, that is probably sedition. Also, does everybody remember that story that came out about Milley calling up his counterpart in China? Oh, yes. The Chinese military, which by default means Chinese intelligence, calling them up, saying, don't worry, we've got this covered. Trump is out. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing that one. But he did make that phone call on January 6th. I believe it was January 6th. Now, why is Milley calling up his Chinese counterparts to say something like that? Why is Milley the one also pushing back against Donald Trump a direct order from the president? It is the president's duty to make sure that the elections are safe, secure, and fair. If the president says that I suspect something nefarious is occurring on Election Day, it is well within the president's right and duty to investigate those claims and the potential hijacking of an election, no matter what side the Joint Chiefs of Staff sits on politically. This person, along with many others, and I say this with a raised eyebrow because maybe people should do a little bit of research on General Flynn, the one that was pardoned. You'll find out he made some, eye-opening statements about the whole thing, no matter what he posts on social media. These people did a lot to sabotage Trump. Most of their actions appear to be, I'm not saying it is with definitiveness, appear to be incredibly illegal. And they abused their position of power to make sure that their agenda was carried out. We're also now well aware that these court cases being brought against Donald Trump are dubious at best. House GOP investigators, they're now going after individuals that are related to Alvin Bragg's case. Now, Alvin Bragg is the incorrigible dirigible over in New York, bringing these outrageous prosecutors against Donald Trump. In a 2023 video, Representative Matt Gaetz is now questioning him, and there is an individual, Mark Pomerantz. Mark Pomerantz is a big-time Clinton lawyer. The guy does all of the dirty work. Gaetz told Newsweek that in a closed-door deposition, I asked Mark Pomerantz very simple questions regarding whether he committed crimes or violated the civil rights of any people in the course of his investigation of Donald Trump and his tenure at the Manhattan DA's office. And Pomerantz, essentially being asked yes or no questions, decides to plead the fifth the whole time. Now, why would somebody do that unless they are trying to hide something? Now, I know in America, it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, unless you're Donald Trump. So the implication here is going to be that Pomerantz more than likely did some legally dubious actions, more than likely illegal, and he doesn't want to admit to it, especially with coordinating with these DOJ-hired flunkies in the form of attorneys, generals, and prosecutors going after Trump. This is a political agenda and a political vendetta against the Republican lead that is going against Joseph Biden. They know that Biden is cooked. They know that Biden doesn't have a policy to run on. Think about it. Oh, I'm going to run on the border. Not so good. Oh, I'm going to run on giving away billions of dollars in school loans and just trying to wipe it out, despite the fact that the Supreme Court said otherwise. Does that sound like something to run on? I mean, sure, a lot of that debt is actually being wiped out from individuals that make at least $100,000 a year. So it's really a handout for the upper crusters of society. Think about this. Oh, we've got equity across the system. How's that working out for everybody, especially in New York City and LA and San Diego, San Francisco, and the list goes on in these Democrat-run cities? That doesn't help anybody here. But what does help the Biden administration is essentially cheating. Cheating with mail-in ballots. Cheating the law. Making sure that Trump is mired in lawsuit after lawsuit, forcing him to show up to these courthouses. Otherwise, he could risk jail time. That alone forces Donald Trump to not be on the campaign trail. Meanwhile, Democrats and the Biden administration could go gallivanting all around the country in battleground states, doing whatever it is that they try to do, unabated. Donald Trump, gag order when it comes to talking about any of these beyond corrupt judges, prosecutors, and their family members. Meanwhile, the same Democrats can say whatever they'd like in a very, very friendly atmosphere on any mainstream media outlet. This is the only thing that the deep state and the Democrats can do to try to stymie Trump's effort to be president once again. If that doesn't show you how scared they are of this individual being in the executive branch, I don't know what else will. What does this man have on them that terrifies them so much? We don't know. We have some suspicions, but we don't know. So they continue with their outrageous lawfare, the documents case, the potential rape case, oh, the hush money case. Really, Stormy Daniels, rumored to be part of the Nixium cult of New York. If you dare look up any pictures of Stormy Daniels, look up or look for a picture on Google, you will see a small branding mark on her hip, which she tried to cover up with a tattoo. That says to me that she's all part of this Democrat operation, because the NXIVM cult was essentially illegally bundling campaign donations for Hillary Clinton back in 2016. And the reason why I say it's a cult is because they groomed girls. They claimed that they were there to uplift girls out of society in poor situations and make them big stars, like the woman on Smallville, that old TV show. That case alone is essentially an NDA case, a non-disclosure agreement case. Those NDAs are signed all the time, all across the United States, with companies all the time. It's essentially a settlement. And now that is supposed to be a big, big deal, because Trump supposedly put it as a line item, or somebody in the Trump camp put it as a line item, as a legal fee for a non-disclosure agreement. Well, you can kind of see why somebody would do that. If you're making a non-disclosure agreement to say, in exchange for you not talking, I'm going to pay you X, that is a legal document. So it could potentially be a legal fee. And especially if somebody like Trump doesn't want his family members to know about it, like his wife, then there you go. This week, it's revealed that Jack Smith, prosecutor, remember him? The guy that looks like Count Dooku from Star Wars? Has some splaining to do. We're finding out that in the documents case, this is the one where Trump supposedly had classified documents and he wasn't giving it over to the archivist. He wasn't giving it over to the federal government. So they went into Mar-a-Lago and rifled through Melania Trump's underwear drawer and took the documents back to make sure that the nuclear football was safe and secure and the gold codes were in their proper place. That was the claim way back then. Nobody remembers that one anymore. Well, it's turning out that there was a small footnote from Mr. Jack Smith stating that, well, the documents that were found, they may not be in the correct place anymore. So what does this mean? It means that the proper timelines that followed these documents and were part of the justification for the raid itself is no longer in place. Let me explain it for you further. Remember last week when I brought up that the Biden administration forced Trump to take 6 pallets of documents? Those documents were then arranged to be picked up. Trump picked them up. And the claim was that Trump was rifling through those documents. But what really is supposedly happening now is that those pallets were picked up, placed in storage in a secure location, and then never looked at. They never cracked them open. They took them, and that was it. Well, per justthenews.com, special counsel Jack Smith is admitting that key evidence in the documents case was altered or manipulated since it was seized by the FBI. By the way, when those documents were seized from Mar-a-Lago, they didn't analyze them. They didn't look through them in the local FBI office. They quickly spirited them off to the Washington, D.C. office. Now, we all know the den of vipers that lives over there in Washington, D.C. So do you sincerely think that everything was on the up and up once that happened? In a new filing on Friday, Smith's team said that the order of the documents in some of the boxes of memos that were seized by the FBI were altered or jumbled, leaving 2 different chronologies, one that was digitally scanned and another the physical order in the boxes. And since the boxes were seized and stored, according to Smith's team, Appropriate personnel have had access to the boxes for several reasons, including to comply with orders issued by the court in civil proceedings for investigative purposes and to facilitate the defendants. There are some boxes where the orders of items within that box is not the same as in the associated scan. So in other words, they're tampering with evidence. They're moving evidence around. Let's read between the lines. To make sure that their case it looks as strong as possible, when in fact, if we were to analyze the documents in the correct order with the correct items, then there almost likely would be no case against Donald Trump. They are putting their thumbs on the scales. They're making it look worse than it actually is because they are the ones manipulating the evidence. You cannot do this. And in the footnote, it even says the government acknowledges that this is inconsistent with what government counsel previously understood and represented to the court. In other words, they told the court one thing, but they did another thing behind closed doors to get Trump. If that doesn't throw out this case, I don't know what will. That judge needs to take matters into their own hands. Because even according to Dershowitz, Epstein Island frequenter Dershowitz, prosecutors and investigators should never tamper with or alter evidence in their possession, including the order of documents in a box, because one never knows what may become relevant or crucial to a court or jury later in the case. This is an admission of guilt and is stunning on multiple levels. Excuse me, I was going to say letters and levels, but levels. According to defense attorney Tim Parlatori, who worked with Trump earlier in the documents case. It is impossible to legally move forward with this. And the Biden administration is well aware of what they're doing. They are loosening the chains of law and order. They don't care what laws they have to break. They don't care how shady they have to be. As long as they get the optics, as long as they drag Trump through as much mud as possible, because they don't want him on the campaign trail. They don't want him to be able to fundraise. They don't want him out in the public eye because they know that Donald Trump so far outclasses Biden and any other potential Democrat candidate that instead of Biden being trapped in his basement like he did in 2020 with the COVID excuse, that's why he didn't come out for debates or fundraise or anything like that. They are now shifting that and forcing Donald Trump to be confined to courthouses. That is their election strategy. It's not based on merit. It's not based on policy. It's not based on future plans to get this country back to where it needs to be. It is only to get Donald Trump.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Rounding out the hour here, this is Unleashed with Chris Michaels on the America Out Loud Network. Yeah, it's been an interesting week. We have this new bill coming out that has been overwhelmingly passed through the House. If you don't know about it now, H.R. 6090, where they say that, oh, anti-Semitism is running rampant throughout the country, and it needs to be stopped. And one way we can go about doing that is expanding the definition of what anti-Semitism really is per a May 26th, 2016 document from a group called the IHRA. And what is that about? It is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. So the Congress itself, the U.S. Congress, they're not involved with the definition. They are outsourcing who is making the definition and what they're going to do with it. Marjorie Taylor Greene decided to post what the IHRA considers anti-Semitism. And this is where we get a potential, if it's not potential, let's just be honest, it's an overt assault on the freedom of speech. This is some of the talking points that they have here. She actually posts 11, but I'm not going to go through all 11. Number one, calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or extremist view of religion. I'm pretty sure that every religion does that about some person or some groups of people that do not share the same religious beliefs, whether you are Christian, Muslim, Jewish, or other. Name it. They all hate each other in some form or another. Making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, and stereotypical allegations about Jews as such or the power of Jews as a collective. Especially, but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. So you can see how dangerous that could be. If you dare to suggest that a group of CEOs, for example, that all are Jewish, whether they're practicing or not, conspiring to corner a potential piece of the market in some way, then you are being anti-Semitic. Number three, accusing the Jews of as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even the acts committed by non-Jews. This is an interesting one coming up. Denying the fact, scope, and mechanisms of intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of the Nazis during World War II. And they make reference specifically to gas chambers. So this means that you are not allowed to question any aspect of the Holocaust, whether you're questioning the numbers, whether you're questioning the locations of mass graves, whether you're questioning a document like the Diary of Anne Frank or the supposed account by Eli Wiesel in his book Night. If you do anything along those lines, you are now considered anti-Semitic. And there's some other items here, but number nine, she references using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g., claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libels to categorize Israel or Israelis. Now, right there, you are denying Christians their right to practice their religion. It says it in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. Just because some groups of people don't observe the New Testament doesn't mean that these people are engaging in anti-Semitism. But here is where the real rubber hits the road. This bill is really an assault on the First Amendment. They don't want you to be able to speak freely about certain topics, or in this case, certain groups of people. The powers that be are using the Jewish people as an excuse to clamp down on your freedom of speech. And we all know at this point, anti-Semitism is a third rail that nobody dares touch in the media, regardless of whatever happens. Just look up what happened with the USS Liberty a long time ago. But they're using this. And what's going to happen is they'll start with the anti-Semitism route. You can't say anything negative about any Jewish person like Netanyahu and what he's doing in Gaza or Iran, or maybe another Jewish person like Stalin or Marx. You can't say anything or Trotsky. How about that? Can't say anything about them, no matter what they did in Soviet Russia. Otherwise, you're now engaging in anti-Semitism. But let's go a little further, and you'll start to see signs that this kind of legislation is going to be pushed through. Now, essentially, this HR 6090, it is going to be an executive order pushed through by Congress. There probably isn't going to be any real teeth to this bill once it's passed. But what it does is it allows agencies and companies and government entities and NGOs to use this as a framework to create offices within those agencies so that they will be able to monitor speech. If you say anything that is critical of Israeli policy, you are now going to be considered an anti-Semite, and some kind of action will be taken against you. And here's where it really starts. It starts at anti-Semitism. What is going to be in the way to stop them from saying, oh, we can't have any negative talk about trans people, about African Americans, about Spanish Americans or Hispanic Americans, or, you know, choose a group, choose a minority. But you can't choose heterosexual white people. That's free, fair game. Ultimately, this is about clamping down on freedom of speech. Jerry Nadler from New York. If you want a good laugh, look up in Google Images, just type in Jerry Nadler. I don't know who his tailor is, but he needs a new one. Look at how high he hikes his pants up. It's a laugh. I mean, you'll be there for 5 minutes going, is this possible? How is this even real life? Who would walk out in broad daylight looking like this? But anyway, Jerry Nadler, very upset about Matt Gaetz, because Matt Gaetz has decided to call out George Soros. There was a hearing, Victims of Violent Crime in Philadelphia. And this was headed up by Representative Jim Jordan. The purpose of the hearing was to examine how Soros-backed Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner's soft-on-crime policies emboldens criminals at the expense of Philadelphia residents. And Gaetz is asking the question. He is saying that, essentially, what's going on here and how is George Soros tied to this? He says, George Soros prosecutors wage war on law and order. Philadelphia DA deceived court to get murderer off death row from the Washington Examiner. That's what Gaetz is saying. George Soros's bad and unprogressive DAs from the Philadelphia Citizen. Mr. Nadler butts in. Says, Mr. Chairman, I want to say with all of the anti-Semitism we're seeing the anti-Semitism of using George Soros again. It is disgusting. Gaetz said, point of privilege, Not every criticism of George Soros is anti-Semitic. The criticisms deal with public policy and the matters of rising crime with Soros-backed DAs. That's exactly correct. Just because George Soros happens to be Jewish, and even though he claims he's not religious, doesn't mean he is not beyond criticism. We have to be able to say what is going on. If somebody like Netanyahu is committing war crimes, then guess what? We should be able to say it regardless of the fact of his religious identity. It doesn't matter if somebody happens to be a Muslim and that person is in charge of a bunch of ne'er-do-wells that murder innocent civilians. We should be able to say and criticize this person. It's part of the Constitution. From the Vigilant News, Fox anchor Neil Cavuto denies Soros funding pro-Palestinian campus protests, even though we know for a fact that his money is leaking into these protests and forcing the hand of the DAs and the judges that are involved with going after these protesters all across college universities. George Soros's money is responsible for getting those people out of jail ASAP. But you can't say that, not even on Fox News. And if you dare say that somebody like Neil Cavuto is being paid or being forced to avoid that kind of criticism, then according to HR 6090, you are engaging in anti-Semitism. At some point, we have to start saying, maybe we have a problem here, especially when they are trying to limit speech. This is part of the American way, I'm sorry to tell you. And nobody is beyond criticism in the United States of America, no matter what their race, color, creed, or religious identity is. We try to call out everybody. And if the federal government is going to stop that, then we have a true problem here. We have a real issue where the government does not speak for us anymore. It doesn't speak for the American voter anymore. Politics would be dead. And it is extremely sad that you've got people all across these universities and recent college grads that are coming out into society saying that, oh, the Constitution is outdated. Oh, it's not fair. Oh, we need preferential treatment. We don't want people being promoted based upon their merit, experience, and skill sets. We want people to be promoted throughout society based upon their gender and their race. University of California is involved in all of this. They're now saying that we have a problem. And the problem being is that the University of California isn't able to enroll students based upon their race. And this is from the Epoch Times. What they are trying to do now is that they are focusing on the income of the parents. So once they determine the income of the parents, they're now trying to connect the dots and saying, okay, somebody with that kind of income bracket is more than likely going to be coming from an African-American community, an Hispanic community, so they're going to be given a leg up. That's how this is working. And this is happening all over California. Once you have this kind of policy in place, where it is going to be focusing on promoting people, on allowing people into the workplace, on, God forbid, a surgeon or a doctor to graduate based upon essentially a free ride throughout college, you're going to come into some real issues here. And for what it's worth, I'm not quite sure the purpose of all of this. maybe it is to really truly bring America down. Because all we see time and again is this continual discord occurring all throughout the nation. And it is truly there to revamp society. They create the chaos in order to step in behind the scenes and reorganize the chaos in a new vision that these elites, the World Economic Forum types, the Democrats, that they see fit. And they don't care about the individuals that were here already. They just want this Agenda 2030 or whatever it is to be implemented as fast as possible, because Donald Trump and his 4 years took that plan off its scheduled timeline. And what's even worse is that they're hurting people in the process in major ways, including a health way. I mean, you're hearing everybody, oh, the flu, the bird flu is all over the place. Apparently a walrus is even susceptible to the bird flu. That's how bad this version is. I mean, do you really expect me to believe this? But that's probably going to be a narrative. Long Beach Hotel in California. They're now saying that the homeless is sparking a tuberculosis outbreak. When was the last time we heard something along those lines? Where do you think these homeless people are coming from? Could these homeless people not be citizens of the United States and they're being placed into various hotels? I think that's what we're looking at. This is the danger that the Biden administration has put every single American citizen in. And they do not care about you, and they don't care about me. They don't care about anybody. It is this whole idea that Trump needs to be stopped. And Trump was the person that showed America that, yes, government can be efficient. No matter the size of the roadblock that was thrown in front of him all throughout his presidency, he somehow overcame it and made your bank account better. Trump was at a donor event, and he knows what's going on. He's saying that the people running this administration, the Biden administration, it is a Gestapo administration. And it's the only thing they have. And it's the only way they're going to win, in their opinion. He's right. Everything that is occurring here has to do with the Biden administration abusing their positions of power and going after their leading opponent. And the American voter be damned. This has been Unleashed on the America Out Loud Network, and I am Chris Michaels. Do not go anywhere. Up next is going to be a brilliant, brilliant show that you should not miss on the America Out Loud News Network.